Today, our nation celebrates its 244th birthday. On July the 4th, 1776, our founding forefathers wrote and signed the Declaration of Independence from British rule and reign. And from that day forward, our nation has celebrated its independence on that day. It was several years after 1776 that it became a national holiday, but that is the day that we choose to celebrate our independence and freedom in this nation. This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to talk about the price of freedom. We're going to take a break from our series that we've been going through the book of Ephesians, and we'll take a break this week, and we'll come back to that, Lord willing, next Saturday. On today's Independence Day, I want to talk about independence and freedom in Christ. Paul writes in Galatians, the book of Galatians, about the freedom that Christians have in Christ. And in Galatians chapter 5, and verse 1, he speaks of that freedom. And we're talking about freedom from sin and freedom from the old law. At the beginning of the book of Galatians, Paul talks about how that Christ has delivered us from this present evil world. And then later, he talks about not being under the law of Moses. And so, spiritual freedoms, and in chapter 5 and verse 1, the well-known passage, Galatians 5, 1, "For freedom did Christ set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage." This Bible passage sets forth two principles that I want us to consider today, this national holiday of freedom and liberty and independence. I want us to consider the price to obtain freedom, for freedom did Christ set us free, and the price to maintain freedom. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. Let's consider this morning the price to obtain freedom and the price to maintain freedom. You know, freedom is not free. A cost had to be paid. A price had to be paid for our nation's freedom. We would not have the freedoms that we have today, and unfortunately, I see some of these freedoms slowly eroding and being taken away by liberal leaders who do not even want to follow our nation's Constitution and Bill of Rights. So the freedoms that we have understood and have had for many years are slowly being challenged and taken away today. I hope that is not the case. It'll depend upon our leadership. But the freedoms that we have had and have taken for granted for many years were given to us 244 years ago at a cost or a price. And we live in a world today that often does not understand or want to pay the price for anything. Especially our younger generations, they want things for free. They want things without having to work for it. And it's some of the younger people, even some of the younger people in our Congress who did not have to pay any price for freedom, and they're willing to tear it down today. So we need to understand that there is a price to obtain freedom, and there is a price to maintain it, and we need to remember that. The treasure of our national freedom was given to us 244 years ago, and we dare not take it for granted or we will lose it. And the same is true with our freedom in Christ. We do not need to take it for granted or we will lose it. We must pray for our nation's freedom that we can continue that. We must be thankful for the ones who paid the price. And the same is true for our freedom in Christ. We must pray that we will maintain our freedom in Christ. And we must be thankful for the blood that Jesus shed on the cross for our freedom. Basically, what it boils down to is this: freedom or slavery. We are either free or we are enslaved. And that is true physically and nationally. It's also true spiritually and our relationship with Christ. We are either free from sin or we are enslaved to sin. And I want to begin this morning with John chapter 8 in a statement that Jesus makes to the Jews of his day. And they thought that they were free, and they really were not, because they were in sin. John 8:31, Jesus therefore said to those Jews that had believed him, "If ye abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered unto him, "We are Abraham's seed, and have never yet been in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, every one that commits sin is the bondservant of sin. And the bondservant abides not in the house forever. The Son abides in the house. If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Jesus came to free them from sin. They were Abraham's seed. They were Jews. They thought that they were fine with God. They were not. They had sin in their lives, and Jesus came to free them from that. And so Jesus came to proclaim liberty. In Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1, Isaiah says of the promised Messiah that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. And this is fulfilled when Jesus went into the synagogue in Nazareth and stood up to read and then taught from this text in Luke 4, verses 18 and 19. He applied it to himself. He came to release the captives and to set at liberty them that are bruised. And he did that physically through working miracles to give sight to the blind and to free people from their ailments. But he also did that spiritually to free people and release them from sin. So we can either be free from sin, where we are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ, or we can be in bondage to sin. And Paul writes about this in Romans chapter 6. Now, Paul is writing to Christians who want to go back and continue in sin. He talks about them being enslaved and in bondage. But the same would be true if we're not a Christian. In John chapter 8, Jesus says, he is a bondservant of sin. We are either enslaved to the devil or we are free from him. Which is it for you, friend? Can I encourage you this morning to be free, not just as an American, but free from sin? Be a New Testament Christian. That's even more important than being an American. I'm grateful for my nation. I'm blessed to have been born into a free nation. And I don't ever want to take that for granted. But being a Christian is more important than even that. And I want to encourage you to get out of that slavery to sin. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6 and verse 15, to certain Christians who want to continue in sin after they've become a Christian, what then, shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants you are, whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, spiritual death, or of obedience unto righteousness. We're all going to serve someone. We either serve Christ or we serve the devil. We're all going to serve someone. Paul writes in verse 17, but thanks be to God that whereas you were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto you were delivered, and being made free from sin. There you go, freedom. Being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. Verse 20, for when you were servants of sin, you were free in regard of righteousness. What fruit then had you at the time of the things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and the end eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice the free gift brings free from sin. The free gift causes us to be free from sin. But the free gift had a cost, and that's what we want to turn our attention to now. A cost for Jesus and a cost for us. I want to talk a little bit about two things: the price to obtain freedom and the price to maintain freedom. In the kingdoms of men, there have always been those who have been willing to pay the price for their freedom. With us, it was the American Revolution. There was heavy taxation by Britain, leading to the Boston Tea Party. There were various atrocities that were made by the King of England on those living in this soil, and it pushed the patience of many to the point where they said no. And of course, it led to what we know as the American Revolutionary War. On April the 19th, 1775, in Lexington, Massachusetts, Minutemen shed their first blood as they fought the British Redcoats. The fighting lasted about 5.5 years. Many people died. About 25,324 is the estimate of those who died in the American Revolutionary War on the side of America, led by George Washington, the commander-in-chief and our first president. Men died on the battlefield for freedom. There were terrible battles, the very bad winter of Valley Forge in 1777. Soldiers deserted. Soldiers didn't have shoes. Animals died and men were pulling the wagons. And Washington drove his men forward to fight at Valley Forge. Finally, a peace treaty was signed on November the 30th, 1782. And even before that, our independence was proclaimed, and we became a free country out from underneath the rule and reign of Britain. But it was at a great price and a great cost. Not just death, but men and women putting their lives on the line, their reputations, their safety, the comforts that they had were given up. They were mistreated greatly. Even if they didn't die, they were mistreated greatly by the British, and a great price was paid. Well, the same is true for us to have freedom from sin. A great price was paid. Just like in the kingdoms of men, there are those who die for freedom. In the kingdom of heaven, there was one who died. There was a price paid by God himself. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The price that was paid by God was giving his only begotten son. You think about doing that yourself, giving up one of your flesh and blood, someone close to you. And then Jesus himself paid the ultimate price of death on the cross so that you and I and many others could have forgiveness of sins. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, took himself out of the way, selfless, emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross, shedding his blood for the remission of sins. You know, there was a price paid by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he gets left out in this discussion, but the Holy Spirit is a person with feelings, just like you and I. And he revealed the word of Christ through the apostles. And Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption. When we resist and reject the words of the Spirit, we grieve him. He is hurt when we do not do what he says. The third member of the Godhead. There is a price paid by the New Testament church as it began on the day of Pentecost. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16 and verse 18, there would be death in the picture. That's what Hades is, the realm of the dead. When the church began, there would be death in its future, near future, but that would not stop the church from beginning and growing. But there were martyrs like Stephen in Acts chapter 7, who was stoned for preaching the gospel. There was James, who was beheaded in Acts chapter 12. There were sufferers, those who suffered greatly for the cause of Christ, like the Apostle Paul. And we need to remember these individuals. We need to remember what they went through to preach the gospel and to save souls and to grow the church. And be willing to sacrifice. Do you know we have 13 New Testament epistles from the pen of the Apostle Paul? He suffered greatly to preach the gospel and to write these letters that we have in our hand today and that we benefit from today, but he suffered greatly for that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writes about some of these difficult things that he went through. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. In other words, 39 times, 39 stripes, five different times. That would have left scars and marks on his back. And I believe when Paul writes about, I bear branded on my body the marks of Jesus, in Galatians 6 in verse 17, I believe it includes those physical marks on his back for being beaten. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of rivers, in perils of robbers, in perils from my countrymen, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in labor and travail, in watchings often, in hunger and thirsting, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, there is that which presses upon me daily, anxiety for all the churches. So, individuals dying for the cause of Christ, individuals suffering greatly for the cause of Christ, and for the spread of the New Testament church so that we can have that even today. And there will be a price paid by all Christians even today for living the faithful Christian life. And that's the second point that I want to talk about. There was a price paid many years ago to obtain freedom for our nation, 244 years ago, and freedom from sin, almost 2,000 years ago. But there's also a price to maintain freedom. Friends, we have to remember that that's an ongoing price. In the kingdoms of men, in order to stay free, there are battles that are fought from time to time where those who would want to enslave us, they encroach on our freedoms, they encroach on the freedoms of others around the world, and you constantly have to fight that back. You have to beat that back. We know about World War I and World War II, for example. That's a continuing price that is paid to maintain freedom. Now, those wars were not fought on our soil. We were helping others against Nazi Germany in World War II and the Axis powers of enslavement. We fought against that. And so there's a constant military vigilance. We even have that today, for example, in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. A constant military vigilance to say, hey, we are on the lookout for anyone, communist or otherwise, who would enslave or take away our freedom. And so there has to be a constant price that is paid. It doesn't just maintain on its own. It doesn't just need one price. Years ago, it's regular. And so Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's in the present tense. In order to maintain our freedom, we have to continue to fight. Just like there is physical fighting to maintain physical freedoms as a nation, there is spiritual fighting going on to maintain freedom. We are to be free from the rules of men, traditions of men. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 7, 22 and 23. And the way we do that is we continue to focus on following God's law, For he that is called in the Lord being a bondman is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he that was called being free is Christ's bondman. You were bought with a price, that's Jesus' blood. Become not bondservants of men. We have to continue focusing on serving Christ and following his law. And what's important, back up a few verses, 1 Corinthians 7:19, the keeping of the commandments of God, not circumcision or uncircumcision, but the keeping of the commandments of God. We can't let man bind on us things that God does not want bound on us. And so, become not bondservants of men. We have to maintain that by continuing to simply follow Christ. There were those in the book of Galatians who wanted to take Christians, some Jews wanted to take Christians and bring them back under bondage to the old law. And so, Paul writes, be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. You're going to have to keep from letting people bind things on you that are not a part of being a Christian. Got to be careful about that. In Galatians 2 and verse 4, Paul talks about false brethren who privately come in and privately spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ. Look at it. That they might bring us into bondage. There are people who are trying to bind things on us that God does not want bound. We follow the New Testament scripture. We do obey the laws of the land. Of course we do. But these are man-made religious rules and regulations and things along those lines, and we're not going to be brought under that bondage, Paul says. We need to be free from the love of money, Hebrews 13, verse 5. We don't need to be enslaved to debt and other things like that, covetousness, greed. And it's going to take a price to maintain freedom from these things. We need to maintain our free life from sin. We need to stay away from that. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, Paul writes, for you, brethren, were called for freedom. That's freedom in Christ. Only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one to another. We're not to be free in Christ and then turn around and just live any sinful way we want. We have to stay away from that. 1 Peter 2:16 also teaches the same thing. So how do we maintain our liberty and our freedom? We follow God's word each and every day. And we stay away from those things that would enslave us. Do we appreciate our freedom, the price that it took to obtain it? And are we willing to pay the price to maintain it today? If you need to become a New Testament Christian and be freed from sin by the blood of Christ, let us help you do that. Please contact us. We would love to sit down and study more with you from God's Word. Thank you for being with us today on the program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.